Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we talk about what's up with the Detroit Lions right now. We preview the Lions Week 13 matchup with the New Orleans Saints as well, and we also talk a little bye-bye Barry, and we discuss playoff tickets. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, everyone. This is Herman Moore, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players to the college level and some all the way to the NFL. As usual, it's great to have you here, Coach.
Great to be here, Matt. After a long wait to talk about Lions football after a disappointing loss.
Yes, that early game is nice for that week, but then you have to wait extra time before the next one. And as we get into it, a reminder to our listeners, please hit the subscribe or like button. It's helping us build momentum. And a special message to those listening on YouTube. We are shifting our YouTube videos over to the podcast section. So I'm posting this video in the old section as well, but this will be the last one in the old section, then heading over to the podcast section from there. So let's start. Let's talk about how people are feeling after the Lions' recent stretch of games, which culminated with that Thanksgiving Day loss to the Packers. And Coach, at first glance, that Packers game was not good. The Bears game the week before wasn't much better. But here's what Coach Campbell said upon analyzation.
Listen, if anything, I went back and after watching it, I'm actually more encouraged. Because to me, it's not what it appears to be. At the basic level of this, it's turnover ratio. It's turnover. And we're turning the ball over too much offensively. Special teams, we had one against Chicago. Giving up four against Chicago, three against Green Bay, and only gotten one back. That's the major issue right now. So we can talk about all these other things, but until we clean that up, the other parts of this are a little bit irrelevant. And honestly, they're not the big issues. So we can take care of the football.
So, Coach, he talked mostly about the turnovers being the biggest key. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, our takeaway and our giveaways, we're getting beat up pretty good right now with that. And, you know, last year in that 10-week stretch, you know, when we went 8-2, we were taking the ball away from people. And, you know, and I know Coach Campbell talked about it being aggressive. They do work on it in practice, but they need to work on it more. You know, you watch the Eagles, you watch the really good defensive teams, the Ravens, they are putting a hat on you every possible time. And first one in securing the tackle, second one in's ripping the ball. And I think that's one of the things that he emphasized. And I know that's what they'll emphasize this week in practice. And hopefully we can turn that takeaway and giveaway to where a plus and not a minus.
Well, that's an excellent point right there, because the Lions defense has not been getting the takeaways. Exactly. Great point right there. And then the giveaway part. I mean, we've got some great sound from Coach Campbell that sheds a lot of light on where the team is right now. And one of the areas people are talking about is Jared Goff and his play and his turnovers. And here's Campbell addressing that and his team.
Well, yeah, that's one spot. But we've talked. He knows. You know, like I told him this morning, it's the man. Once I'm starting to break the line of scrimmage, I got to tuck it away. You know, and it's as simple as that. It's an emphasis we work on in practice. We're going to work on it. You know, like all these little things that come up. Man, we're not going to just yell harder. We're going to give substance. You know, you teach them, you show them. And here's where you can be a little bit better. Everything from pass pro to the rush to the way we cover to the way we jam to the way we protect the football or don't protect it. I mean, there's some stuff on tape right now offensively that we're not even talking about because it wasn't a turnover that's going to cost us. The ball's loose. So it's those things we got to just keep emphasizing. But, man, I'm not getting worried. I love this. I'm serious. I love this, and I love that, man, it's doom and gloom outside our building. And we got six to go. We got an unbelievable opportunity, and, I love it. I really do, man. So this is what we find out what we're made of. And really everybody in this league, for that matter. You're talking about the month of December, and this is where everybody – there's teams that will begin to rise and teams that will fall out of this. And I love our team. I love where we're at.
So, Coach, the two really big things out of this was amazing quotes by Campbell. The first is Goff. He said his play and the turnovers, you know, a lot of fans are down on him quite a bit. And you heard Coach Campbell, and I know you are a Goff fan, but has your opinion changed?
Absolutely not. You know, I think the biggest thing is we as Lions fans have been deprived from winning for so long. We want a Super Bowl champ this year. And we expect Goff to be the best quarterback in the league. He's still up there. Hurts, he throws interceptions. Mahomes, he throws interceptions. I mean, he fumbles the ball. But, you know, nobody is throwing in the towel on those guys. And again, our record's not much different than them other than Philadelphia's only has one loss. You know, yeah, I'm down on it. You know, it's terrible. We know every year in and year out, in a 17-game season, you're going to have a stretch of two or three games where you have to fight through the adversity. You know, Goff talked about that at the beginning of the year. I think he talked about it probably a few weeks ago. And that adversity, as we talked about, you and I, we hope that adversity is a three-game adversity, and we're 2-1. We're not the San Francisco 49ers who lost three in a row. We're the Detroit Lions that have lost one in a row, and let's make sure we stop that. And again, going back to golf, yeah, protect the football when you're running the ball. Tuck it in, high heart, 5-point. I don't care what you teach him. He's got to tuck that in. Interceptions, last week or 2 weeks ago, he had one bad one. The other two were tip ball and a pass interference. It's part of football. It's the NFL.
Those are excellent points. I love the part where you talked about the adversity because Coach Campbell, I mean, his quote was amazing. We're not just going to yell harder. We're going to give them substance. We're going to coach them up. And he actually talked about his team going through adversity. And here's what he said about that.
And you just continue to develop those players around you. You put a good plan together for who you're going into play. Then I think you're pretty good. I think where things go bad is if you don't have a plan. People around you don't believe you have a plan. Players believe that you don't believe in them anymore, then all of a sudden there starts, you know, these cracks begin to show. But look, at some point every team reaches adversity. That's what I do know. Every good team I've ever been a part of, you don't know when it's going to hit. Sometimes it's September, sometimes it's October, sometimes it is December. And I don't think that's going to happen to us, but who knows? This may just be the beginning of it, and we may have to get through a couple of games before we find our footing again. I don't think so, but it wouldn't surprise me either. That's the nature of this league. So, man, you hit adversity, you reach it, and it either makes you a little bit better of a team or you just crack under it. So I like where we're at. We're going to be good. We got one loss. We'll respond. This team will be ready to go play, all right, in a great environment.
And so, Coach, you know, again, I love the position Campbell takes. He takes stuff head on. He doesn't tiptoe around it or try to act like it's not there. He talks about there being ups and downs, ebbs and flows through the season. You talked about that 10-game stretch last year. And so it's kind of interesting that right now it seems Campbell's got his motivational speech about his players to give to them going forward about this doom and gloom outside. What is your perspective on how the Lions are going to address the adversity?
Well, I think the biggest thing is they're going to go after that plus turnover this week. They're going to go after that plus number. And I think that's how you silence some of those. You know, New Orleans is going to bring the heat on Goff because Goff supposedly is not a very good quarterback when he has pressure. And so I think you're going to see some quicker passes in that situation just to get it up. You know, again, the last couple of weeks, we haven't been able to establish our run game, even though we have run the ball well, but been able to move the ball, stay on schedule. You know, you talk about offense coordinators talk about on schedule all the time. So are we dropping back the throw too many times? Where our teams are teeing off when you have to come back from 14 down or 12 down, or teams just pin their ears back and go and hit the quarterback. I mean, if you have to worry about the run, they're not going to be able to tee off on Jared Goff. And those are things that people don't understand. Or I do understand, but never look at it. All they do is look at the turnovers. We have put ourselves in bad situations the last 2 weeks to create and put Jared Goff in bad situations as well as our team. And I know they're emphasizing that. Again, teaching what is right and what is wrong and not just screaming bloody murder in the locker room. Oh, my God, you guys are terrible. No, we're a good football team. We're 8-3. And where are we going from here? We don't know. We're going to find out Sunday in New Orleans. It's in a hostile environment. I can't wait to watch this one.
You brought up so many excellent points. I mean, yeah, at 8-3, we've had 6 turnovers in the last 2 weeks, and a lot of people are pointing to that, maybe 7 actually, because we had a special teams one as well. But some of those were fluke turnovers. It wasn't all bad decisions or bad plays. Mm-hmm. And we talked about a season being a work in progress. And the team does need to make improvements down the stretch. Now, I think another thing worth pointing out is, you said it, we're not used to a team with a winning record at this point. And when we start to lose a game, maybe you feel like the rug's being pulled out from under your feet and you're being fooled about it. But we've got a legit good football team. And you know, it's college football season right now. And the regular college football season's wrapping up and they're going to conference championship games. And this is where maybe sometimes we lose perspective, because college football and NFL football is very different. I mean, you know, in college football, a lot of teams don't lose multiple games. A lot of good teams will lose 0-1, at most 2 games in a regular season. But in the NFL, that's not the case. A little history lesson. I did a quick little search here. 33 different teams have won 14 games or more in an NFL regular season. That's it. In the whole history of the league, 33 teams. And so I know that, you know, when we're sitting at 8-2, it's like, hey, could we go 14-3? You know, maybe. I mean, we still technically could. But now people are worried where our record's going to end. I just want to point one other thing out. In the last 16 years, 4 teams that have gone on to win the Super Bowl had a record of 11-5 or 10-6. One was 11-5, and 3 were 10-6. And so that tells you right there. Oh, by the way, actually, I lied. There was one of them was 9-7. That was the New York Giants, who beat the undefeated New England Patriots. So,
yes, sir.
So the record doesn't, I mean, it matters for seeding and whatnot. I think the biggest issue is we want to see the team make its way through the adversity. And I'm optimistic they will, because it's something you and I have talked about a lot. Who have the Lions brought in on this team? Who have they drafted? Character guys, guys that they think fit the mold, and not just character, but the hard work ethic, the football type player.
Oh, I totally agree. And you go back to those records. You know, the old saying is you learn more from a loss than you do from a victory. You know, 2 weeks ago, we came back in unbelievable fashion to win a football game against the Chicago Bears. So do we live off that? Do we walk into the Green Bay game and all of a sudden things are going backwards and takeaways and we're turning the ball over? But heck, we can come back at the end of the fourth quarter and win another one. You know, those are things that, you know, in the NFL, and I know Coach Campbell talked about it all the time, you know, be present in yourself. You know, be where your feet are and understand that not in a heartbeat, a game can change. In a second, a game can change. And that's what the Lions are going through. So, you know, again, if we're 11-5 or 14-3 or 12-5, you know what? Yeah. I mean, I would love to, we're 17-0, but How did that fare for the New England Patriots a few years back? I think you just mentioned that. And so learn from the losses, get better, don't lose two in a row. Make sure you want to know every week. And I think that's one of the things that they're going to go after. And that's going to make the difference in how this season progresses, how the division falls out, and how and when we get into playoffs, where we're going to end up in those playoffs.
I love your perspective because, you know, I see the fan perspective out there, and I've got a bit of that fan perspective where you're looking at like, okay, well, what seed are we at right now? Do we have a shot at the one? Are we going to fall to the three? You know, those things can matter and they can help you, but I love it. You're like one week at a time, and let's take care of New Orleans this week. So let's look at New Orleans right now. What are we expecting out of them coming into this game? I mean, hey, they've got a losing record, but I see a team that's fighting to win its division. Even though it's the worst division in the NFC, this is not an easy task for the Saints right now. They were banged up at wide receiver, and they got more banged up last week, right? Chris Olave, their top threat, left the game with a concussion. Michael Thomas was already on IR. And then Rashid Shaheed was also injured in the game. So it's a real thing, but I'm not counting injuries for any advantages because remember that Seattle game when their offensive line was all banged up due to injury and we got like zero pressure, or more recently the Packers with all those injuries. I'm not counting on injuries for help, but I am looking at the Saints, you know, knowing going into the game, they're going to have to work a little bit harder, and maybe that's their motivation.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, let's touch base on a couple of things. Let's talk about injuries. First of all, a lot of people don't realize when somebody comes in to fill in for an injured spot, how much film do we have on that person? And the staffs, when you're looking, oh my God, that left tackle lifts his hand a little bit, or that left tackle tips a little bit, gives these keys. And the same thing from the wide receiver and the skill guys. And so I think those are things that come into play. You know, you look at the Seattle game with all those injuries on the offensive linemen. We don't know what the left guard looks like. We don't know what the left tackle looks like. You don't have any film to scout on them. So I think that's one of the biggest things. New Orleans is trying to come back. They're trying to keep in the playoff hunt, which they are because the division is so bad at 5-6. And they're trying to figure out what's going on with them as a team. And so we're going to get their best game. They're at home. We're going to get their best game down in New Orleans, which is a tough place to play. So I think that's one thing that we have to take into consideration.
I agree with you on that. You know, the Saints lost to the Falcons, so that puts them in a tie with the Falcons. They lost to the Vikings the week before that. And so if you're looking at them, though, right now on offense, they are 14th in yards. They're 11th with the pass and only 20th in rushing. And so on the ground, Alvin Kamara is their leader as expected. But the big surprise here might be for a lot of people is the little use of Jamal Williams. Last week, he had 2 carries and 2 catches for a total of 10 yards. And the week before that, he had 4 carries and 1 catch for just a total of 10 yards. So I'm really surprised their rushing game is not better than it has been. But you might see them rely more on it or try to this week, even though Detroit's rushing defense is still pretty good.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and again, there's another flag or something to think about because he was part of the Lions team last year. So he's going to have some insight on some things too. Let's go back to talking about them. You know, they were in the red zone 4 times last week. They had 2 penalties and 2 turnovers, and one was a pick six. You know, I listened to some Kamara stuff today about they're tired of, oh, we got to get better. They're tired. Oh, we got to do this a little bit better. They're saying they don't have any identity. So that concerns me as a fan and as a former coach that what is their identity going to be? Are they just going to dial up and say, we're going to run the football against the Lions today? We're out a bunch of pass catchers, or are we going to surprise them with somebody that's on a roster that they have no idea what he can do? And so I think those are red flags for us that we have to acknowledge. But again, I think we have to worry as Lions about us. We have to worry about our home. We have to worry about our practices. We have to worry about our team and let all the other things take care of themselves.
Those are excellent points. The last couple of things I want to say about the Saints are their defense is 12th in the NFL. They're number 7 against the pass, but 23rd against the run right now. And the Saints might not be playing great, but they're also pretty good at taking the ball away. And so the Lions are going to have to really focus on cleaning that up. So what are we expecting out of the Lions coming into this game? Well, we're expecting a hopefully rested team with those extra days off, but we just got the news that Alex Anzalone is banged up and Jonah Jackson might not be back. And so those are a couple of question marks right now.
Oh, for sure. You know, Anzalone's our leader on defense. You know, he's their best cover linebacker. He's 2 weeks ago, he had 15 tackles. That's a tough one to replace. And so we're going to have, Rod Riegel's in the building. Campbell, we've been pushing him along. So there's going to be, you're not going to replace him with his leadership and his ability to cover the pass as well as stop the run. But we're going to have to, people will take on their little parts, and all the little parts, those 11 guys have to fill in and make up for what he's done. Some guys better step up, the guys in the back branch, defensive line. So I think that's one of the things that you'll see defensively, people taking over to help out with his absence. Excuse me, our offense, we saw last week how big Jonah Jackson is to our offensive line. You cannot, sure. we start a rookie, and again, nothing against him, but if you look at it, he got benched at halftime. He played pretty decent a couple weeks or the week before that. And that's that scouting report. People are going, oh, Jonah Jackson not playing. Let's devise the defense to attack that guard spot. And again, that is a huge one. We notice the difference in our team when Jonah's in there, and we notice the difference in our team when he is not in there. And that all takes hand and is part of the turnover battle that we're fighting, because we're fumbling the football or we're throwing interceptions because of pressure and things like that, because Jonah Jackson's not there. And we've talked about that. The big thing I'm going to talk about that one more time. We kind of survived at the beginning of the year when he was out because Vitae was there. Glasgow fill in, who is a veteran, and Glasgow kind of moved. Now Vitae's gone. So really, you look at it, you've lost your two starting guards, even though Glasgow is maybe one of the better guards that we have, but we don't have that guy to fill in on that left spot. And so, and again, our rookie, he's a right tackle, correct? And he played left guard, that's huge, guys. That is huge. And so hopefully Jonah's back sooner than later.
Well, speaking of Jonah though, Coach Campbell, I don't know if you want to say he wears his heart on his sleeve, but he's pretty transparent as much as he can be without, telling the other team what's going on. But his comment when asked about Jonah Jackson said, "I'm assuming Jonah's not playing until he tells me he's playing, and then I'll know. So other than that, we'll see." Did you make anything of this comment?
Yes, to be honest with you. As soon as I see that, I'm wondering, is that a disappointment thing and that Jonah's not talking to them? Or and again, it's all about what the medical staff says. Maybe the medical staff said, "We think he can go." And Jonah's saying, "Well, I can't block people because my wrist doesn't bend right." I don't know. Again, we're not there. But from a coaching standpoint, I just felt he was enticing or nudging or pushing Jonah to say, "Dude, let's tape this thing up and we got to go because we need you more than anything." And again, we're not in that locker room. We're not in that offensive line room. But that's what I felt. I felt it was a nudge to please, please, please. We need you. We need you. So anyways, that's all I got from that.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I kind of feel the same way. It's like, you said how important he is. I mean, with Vitae out, and then if Jonah's out, you're down two starters. Graham has filled in and become a starter. But our depth is down two right now. And so we really need Jonah back. And our offense is still number 2 in total yards. We're at 7th in points, but running and passing, we're 6th in both categories. And you kind of talked about it. Our running has been well, but when we've fallen behind, we haven't done as much of it to control the game. Now, we did better with time of possession last week than we did against the Bears, but it would be nice to see us pound the game. And I think that's what we're going to hopefully see about the Lions coming in, is trying to get that run first game going. We have two very talented running backs in David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. So I'm expecting to see that. Defense, we're 10th in yards. I think we're falling to about 17th or so in pass, but we're still up there in the rush defense of 5. And some of that is the scheme we're playing, but I'm hoping we can see some improvements. I think the big thing most fans want to see is some pressure on the quarterback.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I think we're getting pressure out of it. We're just not getting them on the ground. And I think that's the thing is, again, go back to, if a team's not leading you and they have to come from behind, we're going to get to the quarterback. Most teams are that way, other than the Chargers. The Chargers are consistent. The Chargers are consistent. Pass rush average 3-point whatever sacks per game, no matter who they're playing against. And I think that's what the biggest thing is we have to figure that situation out and be able to get it. You know, Bruce Irvin has been signed. Bruce Irvin has been in camp for a couple of weeks. So hopefully Bruce Irvin can help loosen up for Hutch. Hutch is getting held all the time. Again, everybody's talked about it. I mean, we see him getting mugged. But again, you know, he's got to learn. He's got to earn his due. He's only a second year player. They're not going to start giving him calls. They're not going to give him the Bosa calls and stuff like that. So, but again, I think that's what the biggest thing is, Matt, is we, once those things are established and we start getting them with better concepts defensively and not playing from behind or trying to protect the lead or things like that, where it's a normal football game, we're going to be better off.
Well, I think you said it earlier, right? If the Lions aren't playing from behind and they're able to keep the run game going, it slows down the defensive pass rush against the Lions. And the same thing is true the opposite, right? Where, you know, Green Bay and Chicago, they had a lead early. It kind of affects your pass rush because the element of the run game. I think it was an overtime game. I saw another one. They brought the house. I think it was Buffalo. And then what happened? They brought the house. Hurts just ran right in the end zone and won the football game. So there are those scenarios, the game circumstances that dictate what happens. And if you look at that first game against Green Bay, we just had them on their heels early and often that it allowed us to do those things. So, but let's pivot away from the game for just a minute. We'll wrap it up with our thoughts and predictions, but let's touch on Bye Bye Barry. That came out last week. It was great reflective video on Amazon Prime on his career, the events surrounding it. You know, I mean, one of the fun things I think a lot of fans realized was seeing AG was the guy who tackled Barry on that long run after he had hit the 2,000 yards to play earlier. I mean, you and I were talking about that this past summer, and that was kind of fun to see. What were some of your takeaways from the Bye Bye Barry movie?
Well, I mean, we were in that era. We were there. I had season tickets. Yep. I was there. Tell you how many games I was at with Barry and Lomas and Lutz and those guys and you know when Glover and Lowe and Spind and I think Wydell and Lutzy retired and all those were all his buddies, all his boys. And when we started losing them to rechange, and again the fullback concept, whatever. Was when he started losing those guys, you know, that was one of the things I said was, you know, he felt he was at a dead end and that he couldn't lead us and he couldn't lead us to the promised land or to the Super Bowl, you know? And then again, you know, I think about, you know, when I was at that game, well, first of all, I was at the game with Mike Utley. That plays on a mental health on an individual. And I said, and I was at the game too, when Brown broke his neck on the 2,000 yard day. You and I talked about that, you know, all of a sudden, oh my God, 2,000 yards. And then boom, I think Belichick talked about that. All he remembers is Brown breaking his neck. So those are things that just continue to add up in somebody's head and on their shoulders and things like that, to where they finally get to a point where, God, I just don't want to do this anymore. And it's sad. So,
well, coach, and I've never played the game at a competitive level, but I've heard this phrase before, and maybe you can weigh in on this. And that is, you know, if you're not playing the game the right way, that's when bad things can happen. I'm not speaking about those injuries that happened that we already talked about, but I'm talking about Barry at the end of his career. If you're not playing full speed, you know, going for it with the full drive because you're motivated, that's when an injury can happen. Is there truth to that? Does that kind of make any sense or not really?
No, it's totally true. I think, you know, if you're not 100% committed to what you're you know, what you're going to do on the football field, what your techniques are, somebody's going to get hurt. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, you even talk about that all the time, that guys get hurt. The second teamer comes in a practice and the first teamer gets hurt because the second teamer got thrown into somebody's knee. I mean, I'm just talking about that because those are the thing is, and especially as the running back position, especially with Barry Sanders' position, you know, how do you take a down off as an offensive running back? How do you come into that situation? And I think that's one of the things that Barry just said, man, I just don't feel like the guys in front of me are going to protect me. And I just don't feel like I can do what I'm supposed to do as the best running back in NFL history.
Well, and again, to be the best as he was, is you've got to be motivated. I mean, you know that any goal you want to achieve, you need self-motivation. And so, you know, as he talked about in his facts, he said his desire to leave the game was greater than his desire to stay in it. And if you want to compete at that high of a level, you need to have the motivation and desire to stay in. And so, you know, his final game against Baltimore, it turned out to be a lot more meaningful than one could have predicted. And I was at that game. You know, I had moved out to Maryland like about a year before that. And the Lions lost, and Barry did not have a memorable performance, but I was there nonetheless, and they showed the video of it, and it's like, wow, you never realize what you're witnessing when you're witnessing it all the time. And so I was thankful to have been at that game, even though it wasn't, you know, for the playoffs. The Lions had a losing record, but I appreciated Barry Sanders, and it was great going down that memory lane with all these different career achievements that they showed and the different teams that you and I remembered from the 90s. And so they talked about that. They briefly touched on his Hall of Fame ceremony. Was very happy. I had the opportunity to go see that as well. Wow. And so it was just a great tribute to Barry Sanders, I thought, and his teammates.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And you know, going back to the motivation, if Barry was motivated to be the best running back with the most yards ever, he may have stuck it out, but he didn't care about those things. That's why, you know, even just the throwing the football, tossing the football to the referee every time. And those are things that we will, as fans who are able to watch him do this, you know, the younger guys, I keep pushing on them. You got to watch him. Look what he does. And, you know, be Barry, motivate, be motivational and do what you do because you love the game, not because you're chasing records.
I think that's exactly it. And that's what I think why a lot of people got confused with the way he left the game. He didn't leave it the way he did with that fax to be a jerk or a prima donna. He did it because that's his personality. He didn't want the limelight. I still remember his rookie year and we're like, wait, put him in, get the yards, get the most yards. And he didn't care about that. The game and his team was greater than the individual. And so that speaks to the type of person he was, he is. And I think that's one of the reasons we all like him so much as Lions fans.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And again, you go back to all the running backs that have ever watched him play or chasing his records or his 1,000-yard seasons in a row or any of those, you know, Emmitt Smith and those guys, every one of them holds him to the highest standards. Every one of them believes he was the best. And that says something for itself. Even though as Lion fan, we lost him, we didn't have the opportunity to watch him get to 20,000. It didn't matter. He's a 20,000-yard rusher in our minds forever.
So let's transition over briefly to playoff tickets. Now, the Lions have not clinched a playoff spot, and nobody has in the NFL yet, but teams are now announcing the ticketing prices to their season ticket holders for playoff games, potential ones. And the NFL actually sets these prices. But I want to get this out there because this is some information that could help the listeners. Because if you're interested in playoff tickets, there's a really good way about getting it. So if you're a Lions season ticket holder, you can purchase your seats. But in the past, and this has actually never happened at Ford Field, but it said you could purchase extra ones before the general public. But they announced, due to the high demand, and we're talking about that waiting list already, that they won't be offering extra tickets to the season ticket holders. So that waiting list, that's the waiting list for season tickets for next year. And there's at least 1,500 people on that list right now. Now, by getting on that list, it gives you priority, a chance to get a Lions season ticket, or a Lions playoff ticket at a reasonable price. We're talking face value. We're talking like $185 a ticket versus the $400 to $500 you'd probably pay for the first round game on the open market. So I don't remember what the price is to get your name on the list. It might be a $100 deposit or something, but that's something you should really consider if you're hoping to catch a Lions home playoff game, should they get one, which we're thinking they're going to. But I'm just kind of putting that out there. If you think you want a Lions playoff game ticket, get your name on that season ticket waiting list and look at all the rules and stuff around it so you understand what that entails. But that could be your ticket to getting the ticket. So I just wanted to throw that out there, Coach, and let people know about that possibility.
Yeah, that's good. Good job. That's good information for people to know, because don't wait till the last minute to jump on the bandwagon.
No, because you will be in a very long line and you will likely not be able to get in the stadium at that point. So let's slow things down, though, as they say, slow the roll. And let's talk about week 13. Lions got a game on the road in an environment that Dan Campbell is very familiar with, seeing as he has coached in New Orleans. Prediction time here. What are some thoughts? What are you thinking that you're going to see in this game, Coach?
Well, I think we're going to have to try to establish the run again. But I think the biggest thing is the plus minus in the takeaway game. We're going to finish on the plus side, or at least even. I think that'll be the biggest thing. I think defensively, you're going to see rally around the ball. You know, I used to talk about the last clip of the film, and I think you're going to see 9-10 guys, even though we have all year, but you're going to see guys ripping and pulling and tugging and trying to get those balls loose. And I think our communication is going to be better in the secondary this week. I know that they had some problems last week, again, as there was a little altercation on the sidelines with one of our DBs, guys getting after it and screaming, and CJ had to step in, I guess. But again, we don't know what happened, but that's just the heat of the battle and guys trying to win and not understand why they're losing the game they felt they should win. So I think, and again, the goal is 1-0, and let's take care of what we can take care of and see if we can shut down Tyson and Kamara and the rest of that offense.
I agree. It's going to be a hard fought game. I mean, is there a game in the NFL that isn't hard fought? Well, maybe if you catch a team flat footed and you out talented them, but it's a road game and it's against a team that doesn't have a bad defense and they're fighting for a playoff position. They still want to win their division. So I too am thinking the Lions are going to probably try to establish that run game. I've always felt like that is an identity that Campbell and Holmes want, is that ability to run the football. And from that, so many other options open up, and then you don't have to press as much. So I'm expecting to see more of the run game, which could then obviously help the pass game. And I'd like to see the Lions try and, you know, affect that turnover ratio. I'd also like to see them do another great third quarter. They started the third quarter against the Packers, the best they started a third quarter this season, hoping to see that continue as well. So excited for Sunday. Can't get here soon enough, especially after the extra few days off from watching the Lions. So looking forward to the game this weekend, Coach. Thanks for joining us as usual.
Oh, love it. Anytime we can talk about them, we talk about them. And again, let's hopefully this was one that when we go into next week, we talk about a big W.
That would be great. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that subscribe and like button. Remember, we're switching over to the podcast section now. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show. And until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.